Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. I think if I'm here in a couple of weeks, I'm going to get put on the vacuum sweeping team or the greeter team or something. What a delight to be here and that you all are willing to let me be a member of this congregation throughout the year multiple times. So what a treat to know so and to know that we are a part of one big family of an almighty God. And it's his desire that every family of the earth feel what you and I feel here this morning. His desire that every family around the globe have an opportunity to know that the deliverer, he lives, he reigns. He gives purpose and value to all of our lives. Turn with me, if you would, to John 16. This morning, I thought I would do a preamble to Monday night. So be talking a little bit about prayer here this morning. We're going to celebrate the ways in which we pray the kingdom. We pray the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray the kingdom, and I'm going to focus this morning on the ask. The ask. Politicians or people who are wanting to collect money for some kind of nonprofit campaign or some marketing strategy, the ask is so important. It's more important and better if it's from a trusted person and if it's in person. If you're wanting money for a political campaign, they tell me that you meet with that potential donor and you don't say, would you contribute somewhere down the line? Wanting to know if you're interested down the line. No. You make the deal right then. What they can do right there, action is in place. You and I have been called by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we have been called by purpose and design. So when we pray, we are not saying, could you, would you, sometime. But we come with kingdom authority, kingdom power for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll begin reading in John chapter 1, and eventually we'll work through, John chapter 16, we'll work through the majority of this chapter. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Not be offended. And notice the list of things he talks about. They're going to put you out of the synagogues. And the time comes that whoever kills you will think they're doing God's service. Being offended by COVID kind of fades into nothing. Hope that didn't hurt anybody here this morning. Jesus is saying, I'm speaking to you so that when some stuff comes, you're not offended by it. When they throw you out, when they kill you and think they're doing God's stuff, don't be bothered by that. In other words, some of you are going to get put to death for this thing. Not a sniffle. This isn't a one-week headache. Okay? And I had one of those weeks last week, like many of you did. But this morning, the text calls me to recognize. Jesus has spoken some stuff that we not be offended when they throw us out or kill us, thinking they're doing us God's stuff. And for these things will they do unto you, because they don't know the Father and they don't know me. But these things have I told you, when the time shall come, you may remember. You may remember that I told you of them, and these things I say not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asked. These are the original audience. None of you asked me, where are you going? But because I said these things unto you, sorrow filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him, that is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, unto you. Lord, we thank you for the invite to your kingdom service this morning. We thank you for your power and your presence as in the house right now. And we give you glory and honor and all these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. See, following Jesus reconstitutes everything. Jesus has some of these strange sayings like, You think I came to put your family together. I came to blow it up. Well, Jesus, I thought you loved families and you wanted us to love families. His point was, is if you're not willing to dedicate all to me, there might be some in your family who choose not to. And your view of the world is going to be so completely different from theirs that your family is going to be torn over the case of Jesus. Our family is not the center of our life. Jesus is. Our job is not the center of our life. The King is. Our health is not the center of our life. The King is the center of our life. Everything we have is reconstituted around our identity in Christ, and that's why you were baptized. Anytime I start feeling sorry for myself, I have to remember I died to that. Anybody else have the ability to have a pity party? Oh, dear Lord, I can throw the best pity parties. I have a nice chair at home. It reclines a little bit, nice leather. I can soak down into it. I can leave the light off, and as the day extends and the shadows deepen, it gets darker, and I can get a good pity going on. Everybody's done me wrong song. Nobody know the world trouble I seen. Nobody but the Lord. Just join in with little Louie, you know, and just, it has been so horrible. But when I listen to the Spirit says, stop it. Because you were baptized. I put you down in my name. So that when things happen to you, you don't say, this is about me, but you say, this is the kingdom at work. And your prayer is, oh Lord, how will you be glorified through this situation? Pastor already preached a part of my message here this morning, so I'll tag onto that. For Paul, he says, I'm not going to heal you, and it's not because I don't love you. Matter of fact, my grace is sufficient to you, and in your weakness, your strength can be there. So as a disciple of the King, as praying people, we need to know the ask. Now, the ask isn't the content of your prayer. The ask is the attitude that you bring. So many times we want to know what's on your prayer list. This morning my question is what's your attitude when you pray? Do you pray as one who has so many needs and is going to take God's full kingdom strength to meet your needs? If so, I'm here to let you know you're going to be a little bit disappointed with your prayer life because your ask is off. Your attitude is off. Your direction to the King is off. But as we study this passage, we can see ways in which we can restructure our ask around kingdom authority. We pray kingdom-shaped prayers. We know that the kingdom is like that mustard seed or that mama making bread. It starts small, but it expands. And we know that the kingdom will suffer some resistance. Jesus stepped into synagogues, and strangely enough, it seemed like there were a lot of demon-possessed people there. You can make of that what you will, but when Jesus showed up, demons that had been quiet for decades started acting out because Jesus was there. Paul had a similar experience when he walked down the streets of Philippi. People started agitating him that were demon-possessed. When Jesus shows up to the man at the shore of Gadara, the man came to worship, but the legions of demons started growling. Thou art the Christ, and what are you here to do to us? As sons and daughters of an almighty God, we now are sent on that mission of Christ, and Jesus says, don't get offended when troubles come your way. Now, there's another message I could preach about offense that happens in the house of God. Because Jesus says in another place, you're going to offend one another, and when you do, confront, repent, and be restored to one another through forgiveness processes. So we can have offense from inside or we can have offense from outside. Our kingdom praying is primarily about these kingdom offenses from the outside. Jesus is on a mission, but he doesn't always explain to us everything he's doing. Didn't it kind of irritate you as a child when your dad says, well, we're going someplace, and you said, where? And he says, you'll know when we get there. Just tell me where we're going and how we're going to get there. And as a child, I wanted to know, of course, the main question is how far is it going to be between meals? My caloric intake need was very high. And I knew that if I went more than 2 hours without another 3,000 calories, life would just evaporate from my eyes. So, Dad, tell me where we're going, how we're going to get there, and when are we going to eat along the way? I want us to understand this morning that the king can't tell us all that he's up to. And as sons and daughters, sometimes that makes me a little bit frustrated. God, what are you doing? I think you all had to miss church last week. And the question is, God, hello, where did you go? Can't you see we have crises going on down here? And when are you going to fix this? Jesus is telling us, even when the crisis is to the extent that they're going to start putting you down in God's name, don't you get offended when that happens, because I am sending you on a kingdom mission. I spoke all these words unto you. My whole ministry is to get you prepared for the mission. Since he's king, he's in charge, he doesn't tell us everything he's doing, and besides that, his plan doesn't always fit my expectations. I've had the privilege, honor, opportunity to do premarital counseling with students before in graduate school and other places, churches where I've attended. And it always astounds me. The couple, anybody engaged, getting ready to get married in the house? He's living large and in charge. Yeah. It always amazed me. The couple comes in, and I would talk about conflict and conversation, and they look at me like, that's other people's marriages. Our marriage isn't going to be like that. You see, you don't understand. We love. When I look in her eyes, I just don't even know what to say. My heart beats so loudly, it takes away. I can barely breathe. Other people just don't understand love the way we understand love. And I look at them and nod. And I say, can I go ahead and make an appointment with you? Because those expectations that we have, since we don't own tomorrow, we don't know the tomorrows. It's delightful to see that couple, particularly the young ones, deeply in love like that. However, I need to let them know you don't own tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen when cancer comes your way, or jobs get lost, or a child with a disability is born, or over a season of time, that laugh that really attracted you to her will irritate the fire out of you. It's a weird thing, that attribute which is so attractive. It's so gratingly irritating at year 7. We go through the marriage knowing that God is there to hold us and sustain us. As sons and daughters of an almighty God, we were baptized in his name and filled with the Spirit with high expectation. I'm on his team. God's at work in me, and everything is going to be wonderful. And then week 2 came. Somebody sold you the bill of sale that said, all's going to be great after you follow Jesus, and Jesus says, you're going to be offended by following me. You see, when Jesus was here, he was the target for all demonic forces in the world. Everywhere he went, demonic forces hit him, pounded him, sought to destroy him and his mission. when he went away and his spirit now abides in us, now we are the target of those things. Oftentimes I take things that I experience, even despair that I might experience, and I take it personally. And I ask, what's wrong with me? And when's God going to fix me? And the Lord says, don't do that. I have filled you with my spirit. You are on my mission. This is not about you. Would you pick up the cross that I put in your life and would you follow me? This path of following Jesus, it ends in heaven, but don't expect heaven here. If your prayers are about heaven on earth, then you are, what James would say, you're praying amiss. Your prayers are all about health, all about finances, all about having the good life now, then you are praying amiss because the kingdom didn't come to give you the good life now. Instead, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, that you may be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost. So the resistance that pounded Jesus now pounds us. Verse number 4, we saw that we could forget, we could fail to remember. Verse number 24 says our joy would suffer. Verse 33 said we could lose our peace unless we recognize that Jesus is still on the throne right here, right now. He reigns. All will bow before him. Heaven and earth will crumble and fall and will be consumed. The power of Satan is already broken. You don't need to pray, Lord, would you defeat Satan? That has already happened at the cross. The challenge is for you and me to say, Lord, I'm going to pray and live out your kingdom purposes and your kingdom's design. The offense that the disciples, the original ones that we looked at here, faced is that Jesus would be leaving them and would be in the tomb. If you read verse number 30, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you that they will weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. The disciples were going to weep, Jesus is dead. The world's going to rejoice, Jesus is dead. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Why? Because the tomb was going to be emptied. The reversal was going to happen. They're rejoicing, they killed me. You're sorrowful, but on the third day, I will arise again. I will arise again. You're going to rejoice again. I'm going to be in your presence again, and not just one place at a time, but with all of you all around the world, it's going to get turned upside down. So the original audience, their pain, their sorrow is that Jesus would be leaving them for 3 days. What's our pain and sorrow? Well, first of all, we're called to love one that we've never seen. We're called to surrender to and love one that we have never, ever seen. Well, the challenge when we're going through obstacles and when things start offending us, Lord, don't you love me? That's the way we pray. Where are you? Don't you love? Either you don't love me or you have no power to do anything about it. One of those two things are in play. So we are called to say, Lord, I love you whom I have not seen. My faith is in you. My trust is in you. My confidence is in you. And I will walk by faith and not by sight. I will walk by faith and not by COVID test. I will walk by faith and not by bank account. I will walk by faith and not by energy. I will walk by faith and not by feeling. We're not worshiping him this morning because we feel him. I'm not glorifying him because I feel him. I'm glorifying him because he is and he ever lives and is restoring all things unto himself. That's why I praise him today. Brother Littles, it feels good feeling Jesus. It surely does. But he is worthy to be worshiped even when you don't feel him. As a matter of fact, if you have lived for him for more than 5 years, I guarantee you've had a season of even months when you did not feel anything. Can I see some hands of some honest folks? Have been seasons. Has there been anyone in the room like me where that went on for a whole year? You felt nothing. What do you do when you feel nothing? You do the same thing you do when you feel something. Nothing changed because you were walking by your feelings. If you follow your feelings, then you will follow your feelings out of Jesus. You're worshiping him because of feelings. You will stop worshiping him and you will seek another God. I'm so thankful I'm among some believers in the house this morning, and you have said, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I will not turn back. I will not turn back. I will not turn back. My God has already been so good to me. Luke chapter 10, the 70 came back to Jesus from their mission trip. And they were all jazzed up. Woohoo! The devils are subject to us. And man, we put our hands on some people and they were healed. And you know what Jesus said? Don't rejoice over that. Huh? Matter of fact, all the way back to your house, Jesus, we were comparing all the cool things that you did. And we're jazzed by the cool things. Don't rejoice over that. You rejoice instead that your name is written down in a book. Our joy is because our Redeemer, he ever lives. He has placed our name in the book of life. And because that, I always have reason to rejoice. I always can have delight in the King. And when I see blessings, what do? Keep rejoicing. When I see obstacles, what do? Keep rejoicing. So for the disciples, Jesus is dying. For us, it's how can I love one who I haven't seen? And not always seeing the kingdom expanding, though we're living as witnesses. There are people in this room that have taught Sunday school classes for 5, 10, or 20 years. There are people in this room that have led youth groups, or you've taught Bible studies, and you've cleaned the church, and you've been a door greeter, and you come to Saturday morning prayer every single week, and you fast, and you pray, and you seek his face. But then there are Monday mornings when you say, why am I doing all of this? I don't see it changing anything. That's the offenses sometimes that we face. And the question is, can you keep serving Jesus? Can you keep doing what he told you to do, even when you see more growth in opposition than you do in Christ? Brothers and sisters, the tomb is still empty. He is still our Lord and he is our Redeemer. We will be faithful. Book of Hebrews talks about some people who did amazing things. They killed giants. They slay bears. And then it talks about some mamas who saw their babies die. And some who were sawn in half. And some who lived in caves and wore roughest garments that they could find was the only thing to clothe them. And the scripture says, and the world wasn't worthy. World wasn't worthy of those who, nobody knew their name but their heavenly Father. No one knew where they were except for him. Nobody thought they were worth anything. Everyone thought they were just trashed and foolish people. The world wasn't worthy of that kind of faith. In this room here this morning are some men and women of faith, and the world is not worthy of that kind of faith, because every single day you say, I'm going to read his word, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to walk in it. And when it's time to worship together, I'm going to be there. Why? Because God has already saved me and redeemed me. Sometimes we go to meetings and we hear people speak. Usually we hear people speak who great things have happened to them. I mean, they touch people and all of a sudden tumors fall off of their cheek. Not the one that's praying, but the head that they touched. They see bodies that have been laying in the street for a day and a half and pray for them in the resurrection. Those are the people that we want to hear to build faith. I'm here to let you know this morning that perhaps you need to hear the walk of faith of some of you who say, God has been faithful. I don't see the consequences that I had hoped for, but I'm not giving up on my Jesus. I will not turn back on Jesus. I dealt with cancer the last 5 years, and I'm not going to turn my back up on Jesus. I lost my job, but where else am I going to go but right back to my Jesus? That's what I want to hear this morning. I want to hear some from people who know that God will never forsake them and will never leave them, and you've proven it by your life. That's more encouraging to me. And someone whose prayer life has that dimension of everything they touch turns wonderful. They're also not telling you all the story. They're just giving you the highlight reel. And usually it's preachers like me that's been around 40 years. There should be at least 3 or 4 stories to tell out of 40 years. Like reading the book of Acts, all those miracles, and then remembering that, well, that took place over 20, 30 years. Question is, will we walk faithfully in Him? There are other kingdom challenges we might face. I'm asking you this morning, what's hindering your peace? What's hindering your joy? What's hindering your ability to identify your spiritual gifts and walk in them? This is the challenge, the problem that we face. I tell you, brothers and sisters, whether your body feels good or not, we're to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whether there is a war in your family, on your job, in our nation, in our world or not, the Prince of Peace has come our way. And before we know how to pray in Jesus' name, we've got to address those things which hinder our ability to live out His disciple call. Verse number 7 said that Jesus is going to depart and give them that Holy Spirit. The answer to the challenge is that working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues in us, and it confronts the world around us. Verse number 8. When He, that is the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus absorbed every conflict you and I feel today. When Jesus walked here, He absorbed it. Confrontation came His way. Now that He is gone, you and I are the targets. You walk around with a target on your back. Maybe like the junior high kid that had the sign taped on his back, kick me. And wondered why all day folks were snickering and folks were kicking him because he had a sign on his back that said, kick me. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you walk in an evil world and the sign on your back says, I'm a child of an almighty God. I do not live for me. I am not the executive of my life. I have sold out completely to Him. And the world reads that as a kick me. Enemy wants to know, do you really believe what you worship? It's easy for us to worship Him here together. But on Tuesday, when obstacles come our way, do we still say He's my Redeemer and He ever lives? You can only do that with the Holy Spirit in your life. We should anticipate being targeted as Jesus was. Verse 12, please. Spirit is going to guide us through this time. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. That's before they had the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when He, that is the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. Not guide you in an easy path, but guide you in the way of truth. Not guide you in the way of satisfaction and peace in this world. Brothers and sisters, He has already overcome the world, and He did it by way of the cross. And because we follow the Holy Spirit, we have the capacity to walk in truth and not in comfort. Do you still want this Jesus? Do you still want to worship this Jesus who promised to lead you by the Holy Spirit to lead you in the ways of truth and walking in the ways of his glory. He will not speak of himself, that is the Holy Spirit. Whatever he will shall hear, that will he speak. And he will show you the things to come. He will glorify me and he will receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Brothers and sisters, we are called. This season has reminded us, unless we learn how to listen to the Spirit of truth and follow the Spirit's guidance, we will be people who are miserable. Miserable people are Christians who believe God's in charge, but they can't feel it in their personal emotions to walk as if God's in charge. You can only do this by the Spirit. Now I've created some tension. Talked about who God is, the power of the Spirit, and revealed some layers of discomfort in our spirit. And Jesus needs to help us recognize that we have the right because of that, calls us to our next step. Verse number 16. A little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while and you'll see me because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves. They started asking questions, but who did they ask? Each other. Where's Jesus going? What are we going to do without Jesus? I left my boat. I can't buy my boat back. I've left my tax collector table. I can't get my franchise back. I left all. What are you going to do, Peter, Andrew, John? What are you going to do now that Jesus is leaving? They're asking one another. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is it that he says a little while? Verse 18. They said, therefore, what is it that he says a little while? We cannot tell what he says. We don't know what he's talking about. And Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves what I said a little while? And you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me. Why are you? You're asking the right questions, but you're asking the wrong people. Why are you praying to each other? Why are you complaining to each other? Why are you expressing your doubts to each other? It's time to flip the script. Time to recognize the one that you come to. He's not about your back, bad back, and he's not about your health crises. He's about us seeing the kingdom and walking in the kingdom in John chapter 3. That's why we're born again of water and spirit, so we can see what he's doing in the kingdom and so that we can walk in it. Verse number 23, in that day you will ask me nothing. Now, wait a minute. Jim, you're telling us to pray. Now you're saying on that day you're not going to ask Jesus anything. Verily I say unto you, whatever you will ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. You've asked me, blind people have asked me, lepers have asked me, but you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. In other words, if you don't ask appropriately in his name, your joy is going to suffer. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs. The time comes when I will no longer speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. You're not going to ask me, and I go to the Father, for the Father himself loves you because he has loved me and believed that I came from the Father. The authority of the ask, the kingdom is the ask. We've got to ask what's hindering us. And we've got to ask the Father why and how we should respond and to help us to hear. Some people use the name of Jesus as password on their computer. When a problem comes up, they type in the password Jesus, hoping that it opens up the God app. That the authority is to get into God's app by the name of Jesus. That's not what praying in Jesus' authority means. Praying in Jesus' authority means that the Jesus who was with you and had authority in prayer is now in you, and now you have authority in prayer. So praying in the name of Jesus is not using the right open sesame to get God's attention. Praying in the name of Jesus says his kingdom is coming and his will is being done, and now I have spiritual authority like Jesus had a spiritual authority. So I come right now with the ask. In prayer, I come in the authority of Jesus. When a police officer knocks on the door or yells to someone, stop, they don't yell in their own authority. They have a badge that says, I have the authority of the city or of the county or of the state or of the federal government. I'm commanding this to happen. I have the authority. And they pop out the wallet with their ID picture on it. I have the authority, and I have a search warrant from the judge. You got to let me in. But I'm not using the name of the United States as the open sesame. I come in the authority of the one who has sent me. When you go to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in prayer, you are not going in someone else's authority. You are walking boldly because he abides in you and he lives in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done when you come with the right ask. Here's the wrong ask. Lord, everybody's picking on me. Wrong ask. Wrong approach. Wrong approach. I'm getting tired of COVID. You may be, but wrong approach. Lord, I prayed for this illness for a year and a half now, and I'm getting exhausted by it. You may be. Wrong approach. I'm asking us this morning to step boldly into the right approach to the throne room of an almighty God. Because you died to you and you're alive in Jesus by baptism and in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you have the right to stand in heavenly places and say, my joy has been hindered because of these circumstances. Oh Lord, I pray right now that the authority of joy come back into my life, and peace come back into my life, and hope come back into my life, and spiritual gifts grow in my life. Because my illness has no authority over my joy. Governments have no authority over your peace. You might be a vaxxer, an anti-vaxxer, or you might be smart enough to not even read the news anymore, and you don't know what's going on. Doesn't make a lick of difference. Those things have no authority where you and I exist. We, in prayer, say, oh, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How can I show them joy if your joy is not in me? My joy has been depleted. So, Lord, you chose not to heal me. So how are you going to use this for your kingdom to come to pass? I'm still here, which means I'm a kingdom asset. And kingdom authority is still here because your Holy Spirit abides in me. So I'm asking right now, with Jesus' authority, thy kingdom come, thy will be done through this situation. That is far different than says, you got to heal me, Jesus. You got to heal me, Jesus. You got to heal me, Jesus. That's not coming with the appropriate ask. That's coming for relief. James chapter 5 says, if there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, anointing with oil. For a Hebrew reader, James being the first author in the New Testament, and a Hebrew of Hebrews kinds of person. James praying that, talking about anointing someone with oil, you know what the audience would have heard? They would have heard the anointing of the priest until it ran down on Aaron's beard. They would have heard of the anointing of King David out of a prophet's jug. They would have heard of the anointing of one prophet to another prophet. That's what the oil meant to a Hebrew listener. You and I are thinking of it as medicinal purposes. It's like some people keep medicinal whiskey in their closet. I'm not a drinker. I'm just a medicinal purposes only. I've literally heard of people who drunk so much NyQuil and other stuff with alcohol in it, they became alcoholics. Apostolic people becoming alcoholics drinking medicines. Why? Because they got the wrong ask. When they come to God, they're asking for relief from the pain. Brothers and sisters, your call is far beyond that. We've got to be able to say, Lord, your kingdom is coming and your will is being done. So I've asked these three times for healing and you've chosen not to. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to flip the switch. And right now, in the authority of the name of Jesus, you're going to use this obstacle for kingdom glory. You're going to use this obstacle for your will to be done. You're going to transform my spirit. You're going to transform my mind. You're going to transform my relationships. So I'm going to stop praying password Jesus, and I'm going to start praying kingdom Jesus. I'm going to stop praying medicinal Jesus. I pray when times get tough. That's medicinal Jesus. The way is difficult. That's medicinal Jesus. You just need a little Jesus hit to get you through the week. So you come to church on Sunday, toke a little bit on Jesus, so you can get through the week, or pop a tab of Jesus in the worship set. So for a moment, you can forget your misery, and then you kind of coast into Wednesday, and then you coast into Sunday. That's medicinal Jesus. There's some people in the house this morning that aren't believing in a medicine Jesus. You're not believing in one who is here to satisfy what you want. You believe in a Jesus that's here to satisfy the Father's will, that the whole world be transformed by the gospel's sake. And I want you to know this morning, it's much more satisfying to follow that kind of Jesus than it is a medicine cabinet Jesus. A medicine cabinet Jesus will never satisfy. A medicine cabinet Jesus will get weary. A medicine cabinet Jesus is an effort you got to keep pumping up and working harder. But following Jesus wherever he leads you, that's where joy unspeakable and full of glory exists, because now you're not serving him for the loaves and the fishes. He is a healer. But sometimes he has the Apostle James beheaded. Sometimes he frees Peter from prison. And sometimes Peter gets hung upside down. We have direct access to the Father. And Jesus says, don't use my name like a password. Don't ask me to turn around and try to ask the Father to do something. Instead, go straight to the creator and sustainer of all things. It says, I'm coming right now in the name of, that is, I'm coming in the authority of Jesus. Remember the sons of Sceva who wanted to cast out some devils and use Jesus' name as a password? In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I adjure you, come out. And you know what the demon said? I know who Jesus is. And I know who Paul is, because Paul has the authority of Jesus. When Paul speaks, he speaks in the authority of Jesus. But I don't have a clue of who you are. I'm a little tired of this sucker anyway, so I'm going to jump on you. When I live my days praying against health crises, asking for ways to be better, I've lost the authority of the ask. Someone else knows power with Jesus, and Jesus has power, but I don't. All I do is I want to be relieved from my pain. Brothers and sisters, this day I'm asking, is there anyone here this morning that's willing to trust Jesus with all of your life and now start praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done? And whatever you need to do in us for Racine to be turned upside down, that's what I want to be done. Give us 10 more years of COVID if that's what it takes. Anyone willing to pray that prayer with me this morning? Lord, give us 10 more years of COVID if that's what it takes. Lord, give us an economic crash. I don't like to contemplate that. I'm getting into my middle geezerhood now. And soon I'll be into advanced geezerhood. And I want all my nickels to be there in advanced geezerhood. If there's an economic crash now, it takes 7 or 8 years to pull out and my nickels will be depleted. So my flesh says, don't pray like that, Jim. Pray for your finances. Because you're going to need it. But there's something in the Holy Spirit that says, Jim, if you want to tap into kingdom resources, you're going to have to stop praying that way. And you're going to have to start praying the kingdom prayer, which is, Lord, what have you got to do in my neighborhood? What have you got to do in my job? And what have you got to do in my school? And what have you got to do in City Hall? And what have you got to do in the prison? Let it happen, Lord Jesus, and bring it to pass now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I come with the authority of Jesus. Presence of the Holy Spirit is powerful in the room right now. You might say, well, Brother Littles, I don't feel it. You don't have to. You don't have to. The power of the Holy Spirit is in the room right now calling us for maturity. His disciples said unto him, verse 29, disciples said unto him, lo, now you speak plainly and you're not using proverbs. Now are we sure that you know all things and don't need that any man should ask you? By these we believe that you come forth from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now really, do you really believe? But the hour comes, yes, and has now come, that ye will be scattered, everyone to his own. You're going to abandon me. I am not alone because my Father is with me. Jesus was from God, God in the flesh. They would be scattered. But Jesus is speaking to them and speaking to us as kingdom disciples today, wanting us to transform as disciples into the place where we no longer pray Jesus' passwords. We no longer ask. We no longer ask the strategy of prayer. How do we pray in the right sequence, in the right order? Instead, we pray, Lord, you baptize me in water and in spirit. Open my eyes to see what you want to do in the kingdom. And give me the authority, my spiritual giftings, to walk in that kingdom. And as he said in John chapter number 15, I'm going to abide in Jesus and his words are going to abide in me. So that I'm going to ask whatever I want to and it's going to be done because I'm in Jesus and Jesus's word is in me. So I have Jesus' authority this morning. You don't have Jesus the password. You have Jesus the authority. And that's the ask. When you go to the Heavenly Father in prayer, you say, my neighborhood doesn't yet know you, Jesus. Doesn't yet know Jesus. So I ask right now with divine authority, whatever needs to happen, let it be done right now. I've prayed repeatedly for my health. I've prayed repeatedly for my job. I've prayed repeatedly for my family. So I'm going to stop praying that way. And I'm going to start praying, Lord, however you want to be glorified, let it be done. As we saw in verse number 24, I'll read it again. Hereunto you have asked nothing in my name. You just asked me. You didn't take on the authority of me. You just asked me. You didn't take on the authority of me. As we pray here in a moment, we're not going to pray just in Jesus' name, meaning praying to Jesus. But we're going to pray with Jesus-shaped authority. We're going to say, Lord, you know the despair I've been facing. And dear Heavenly Father, I come right now in the authority of Jesus. That it is your kingdom will that this despair be banished from my spirit. I'm not asking for the cause that I'm aware of to go away. I'm asking for the deeper need of peace and joy and hope in the Holy Spirit. I'm asking for faith and hope and love more than I'm asking for a healthy body and a good job and to be known and honored and respected. I need kingdom-shaped answers in this world so I can live out kingdom witness. As we're standing together, Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33, Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So here's how we can respond. I think I can preach this way to this congregation because this congregation is used to the preached word. This congregation is a mature congregation. That doesn't mean old. It means that you have sought kingdom purposes and not personal delight. So I can preach in this way. So here's the first response to the word this morning. Face the challenge that you think you have right now with Holy Spirit's guidance. So whatever you think your challenge is today, we're going to pray, Lord, your Spirit was given to me to give me the truth and to give me a way through to your purposes and your design. Holy Spirit was not given to fix my circumstances, to line up with what I want. The Holy Spirit was to line up me with what you want. So we're going to pray, Lord, activate the Holy Spirit in us here this morning in a new dimension. Y'all believe in the Holy Spirit. Y'all believe in worship. Y'all believe in depending on him. This is a church that's a praying church. This is a church known to be a praying church. I'm just asking us in this COVID crisis to switch into some kingdom dimensioned prayers. We're not using Jesus as a password anymore, but we're using Jesus' authority. So the first thing we got to do is face the challenge, asking for Holy Spirit guidance. Secondly, we're going to ask for kingdom authority. We're going to ask it in Jesus' name, not as a password. But the authority that Jesus walked into a synagogue and was confronted by evil. We want to assume when you go to the grocery store, you go to the grocery store in Jesus' authority. And there might be someone there that's contaminated by a demonic spirit. And there can be a holy confrontation right there, right then. And you have the authority of the name of Jesus to call kingdom shape, relief to the other. Not for you, but to the other. Thirdly, we're going to rejoice in the answers the Holy Spirit gives us. Oh, Lord, I want to be able to take it a little easier now in this season. I want to know my retirement's taken care of. I want to know these things. But, Lord, I'm a little tired of asking that as a password prayer. I'm going to switch over to kingdom-shaped prayer if you give me guidance by the Holy Spirit to do so that I can pray your kingdom come. Lord, in this situation, bring to pass your kingdom will and your kingdom purposes. Would you come, stand at this altar as a confession. When you come to this altar and stand, it's a confession. I want kingdom-shaped prayer, and I want to come to the appropriate ask. I want to come with the appropriate ask. I want your purposes and your will, your plan and your desire to be achieved in my life, coming with kingdom ask. Lord Jesus, right now we resign. My old prayer list, I put it away right now. I confess that prayer list was driven by what I needed. Right now, I come with a kingdom ask. I pray right now an unction of the Holy Spirit on this congregation, those that have gathered around the front. I pray a guidance of the Holy Spirit right now to help you discern what the real crisis is. I pray an unction of the Holy Spirit that he reveal what he's really got in front of you for the kingdom place. In the name of Jesus right now, I pray. I pray that our other needs fall by the wayside in the name of Jesus. I pray a dimension of trust, O Lord, that we'll seek your kingdom and you'll take care of my need and you'll take care of Sherry's need. I trust you in it right now in Jesus' name. Thy Holy Spirit right now. Breathe on my brother right now with the power of the Holy Spirit.
be revelation in my brother and in my sister right now, in their family, in their marriage, oh Lord Jesus, in your name. Reveal in my brother why you gave him a spiritual gift in this hour. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Oh Lord, my brother's been hungry. There's been a hunger in his spirit, oh Lord. A thirsting in his spirit, oh Lord. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray. With that appetite, in the way that the Holy Spirit can guide and direct, oh Lord, in the dimension where you're leading him right now. I trust you. I trust you, Jesus. My prayer for stuff is gone. You know I have need of those things. But Lord, the Holy Spirit is going to have to guide me in this process. I need your Holy Spirit to heal my mind. I need your Holy Spirit to heal my emotions. I need your Holy Spirit to direct my steps, oh Lord, in dimensions of the kingdom-shaped walk. Lord, we love our pastor. We love our leaders. But Lord, there's a dimension of the Holy Spirit you want released in all of us here this morning. And right now, we surrender to it. I open myself to the attack of the evil one. I open myself to the attack of demonic forces in my world. I open myself. I put a sign on me. The sign on me is I belong to Jesus. And I walk with Jesus shaped authority and power. So Lord, I put a sign on me. I put a sign on me. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Lord, you did not destine me to be weak. You did not destine me to be small and beggarly. You destined me with kingdom-shaped authority. So right now I come boldly into your throne room. God, what you designed me to be, I'm not living in it just yet. You designed me to come with Jesus' authority, and I'm not doing that. So forgive me, oh Lord. And I trust you right now that you will give me a new ask, a new approach to your throne room right now in Jesus' name. With Jesus' authority, I ask it. Releasing my sister's spiritual authority, spiritual power and direction. Guide my sister by spiritual truth and order her steps, O Lord. Let your word be in us in a new dimension, O Lord, I pray. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, yours, O Lord.